cold because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Friday, everybody. Short week this week with the holiday being on Labor Day, holiday being Monday. And let's check out some temperatures around our listening area. 79 degrees at Altus, 68 degrees at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. 61 at Arnett. And 50 at Boise City. Interesting. 60 at Lahoma, and then just the cold front is moving through. It's going to be a little airish tomorrow. So get your hoodies out. Don't delay that. Get the dust and the spiders and scorpions out of them. They're ready to go. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, more of the same. 60 degrees at Lipscomb, 62 at Miami, 74 at Wellington, 77 at Wellington, and 80 degrees at Odell. Traveled over to Burns Flat last night to the Schneeberger Ponderosa. Really, really, really good turnout for the meeting. Lone Star Gin out of Pampa, Texas, put on. They're in the process of acquiring the Burns Flat cotton gin. Full house. There might have been room for half a dozen more people, maybe. I don't know, 7,500 people. I'm not sure how many people were there. Full house. Food was good. Kerry McKinney, big dog out there, Lone Star, put on a really good event. And they talked about upcoming things with the Burns Flat Gin and what had been going on out at Lone Star Gin at Pampa. So it was all good. Very good turnout. And if the bomb gone off in that barn, there probably wouldn't have been any cotton farmers left in Western Oklahoma. There was a lot of good folks there. Oh yeah. And when's the last time you guys seen Mark Strobel? You guys need to give him a shout. His grandkids has done some makeover on him to keep him from burning his ears. So you'll have to call Strobel, Mark, and ask him what his grandkids have done to him to keep him from burning his ears. Pretty cool deal. So anyway, shout out to Mark Strobel. So yeah, it was good. It was real good. And then this morning, the line at the Elk City Livestock Auction was unreal. They were backed out onto the highway when I went by. And wow, a lot of people selling cattle. So it was busy. So I'll get more, see what more's going on when I go back over there this afternoon sometime. So, yeah, crazy. Everybody's selling cattle, and prices are good. I don't blame them. But usually you don't see that at a livestock barn. Usually it's when because of a drought and had to sell off, and they hold out till the last minute. But that was really, and I seen a lot of cattle coming into town yesterday. So interesting what's going on. You guys ought to go out there and check it out, see what's happening. If you've never been to a livestock auction or you haven't been to one in a while, you ought to run out there today and have lunch at the Cranky Old Lady Cafe. Old Cousin Kay, she'll hook you up with something. Maybe she won't have beans with the goulash today. I'm not sure. But go check it out. Eat some lunch out there. Got a really good hamburger and cheeseburger. And just walk up there for a few minutes and watch craziness. It's good. It's real good. But just go out there and watch it. All good. All right, let's see what happened in our big old world of agriculture last night. Or overnight, I might say. Soybean and corn futures were higher in overnight trading as drought conditions worsen in parts of the U.S. Midwest. About 14% of 11 state region that includes Iowa and Illinois, the largest producers of both crops, were suffering from drought conditions as of September 2nd, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. So you know what this tells me, this article? they can't find anything to talk about, so they want to raise the suspicion of drought spreading, and we'll get more with that when I bring up the U.S. Drought Monitor coming up. That's up from 4.5% a week earlier and 11% 3 months ago, but down from 32% at the start of the year. Just under 14% of Illinois was seeing drought conditions as of Tuesday. That's up from 6.1% a week earlier, but down from the 25% it was suffering about 90 days ago. Conditions in Iowa, however, were much more favorable, with other with only 4.1% seeing abnormally dry conditions and zero facing drought, the monitor said. Still, drought was widespread in Indiana, Missouri, and Ohio. About 65% of the U.S. soybeans were in good or excellent condition at the start of the week. That's down from 69% a week earlier. Scattered rainfall is expected in parts of the eastern Corn Belt this morning. It's raining up north of here right now in northern Oklahoma. They're getting some good good showers, it looks like. Soybeans for November delivery were up 2¾ cents to $10.35¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal added $2.50 to $286.20 a short ton, and soybean oil futures were up 0.17 cents to 52.1 cents a pound. Corn futures gained 2¾ cents to $4.225 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery was up 3¾ to 523¼ on the Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City added 3¼ to 509½ a bushel. Ethanol production, stockpiles, everything increased over the last week. Ethanol output and stockpiles in the U.S. rose week to week, according to data from the Energy Information Administration. Production increased to an average of 1.075 million barrels a day. That's up from 1.07 million barrels a week earlier. In the Midwest, by far the largest producing region, production was at 1.02. So in other words, they do all the work. Gulf Coast output rose to 25,000 barrels a day, up from 22,000. West Coast was up 1,000 barrels a day to 10,000 barrels a day. Rocky Mountain output increased to 10,000 barrels a day from 9,000. East Coast was the only region decliner for the week, averaging 11,000 barrels a day, and that's down from 14,000 barrels. Ethanol inventories as of the week through August 29th was at 22.564 million barrels. That's up slightly from the 22.549 million barrels a week earlier. Freeze watches. Here we go. It is fall. A freeze watch will take effect later this evening and last into tomorrow morning in parts of western North Dakota. I don't know where I used to frack some wells. Temperatures will drop to around 30 degrees, about 62% of the spring wheat in North Dakota. The largest producer of the variety was harvested at the start of the week. So hopefully they made a big old impact on it this week and got a bunch of it out. In central Missouri, meanwhile, light rain showers and some thunderstorms are possible today, with colder than usual temperatures that could reach record lows tomorrow, according to the National Weather Service. As you just heard on the ONN news, state climatologist Gary McManus with the Oklahoma Mesonet said it was the coldest week on record last week of August on record in the state of Oklahoma. I think coolest would be more a better choice of words, but we'll go with the coldest week ever recorded in the state of Oklahoma. And looks like she's going to be a little chilly this weekend. So we need some heat. We need some sunshine and heat left. We still got to make some peanuts, and the cotton needs some heat, I'm guessing. And so like I said, that was a really good deal over Keith Snaberger's farm last night with Lone Star Gin, talking with all the cotton farmers. Got to see some guys I hadn't seen in a while, so it was all good. All right, let's take a Wheeler General Store break, and we'll be right back. after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone Ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-AD2 radial tires. And get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the Crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
Did you hear about Mark and Jenny's place?
Yeah, that tornado really leveled it.
It's so sad, but get this. They're already making plans to rebuild with a barndominium.
Really?
Yep. They're using Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone. Said the crew's local, fast, and everything's built to take on Oklahoma weather.
Smart move. I've seen some of those barndos. They look sharp.
It's not just homes, either. Cyclone builds barns, shops, even commercial buildings.
I wouldn't mind a metal shop out back, and something that's actually going to hold up if the wind picks up again.
Let's call them. Mark said Culverstone made it easy and affordable.
Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone. Barndominiums, barns, and commercial buildings. Custom built to stand strong in the heart of tornado country. Call Damon Culver at 580-821-0681 or Terry Stone at 580-243-9598.
Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone. Not just built for looks, but built to last for years to come.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Odell, Texas, down there south of the Red River Bridge, south of Altus America, 81 degrees, heat index is 84, humidity 67, dew point 69, the winds are out of the northeast at 19 miles an hour with wind gust up to 21. Peak wind gust today already is 29. No rainfall so far this month, and 85 is the 8-inch soil temperature. 85 degrees there in the soil, all the way down to 8 inches. All right. Let's go ahead and do our Central Crop Care LLC out of Hobart, America grain market update real quick. You guys need some spraying done anywhere, he'll travel. Keith got two big, nice John Deere spray rigs. I know we're getting, we're still a month away from defoliating, but getting some fertilizer put down, some stuff going down for fall forage planting, give Keith a call. Got a big, nice ad in the Penny News. And I'll give you the number if you want it, 580-530-1032 for Central Crop Care out of Hobart, 580-530-1032. Let's see here. We updated? Yeah, it actually updated for the first time in months. I'm impressed. Now if I can get my computer screen to move. Here we go. September corn, 402 up 3. December, 421 up 1.5. March is 439 up 2. Soybeans for September, 1015 up 3. November's down 2 and 3 quarters at 1030. January's 1048 down 2 and 3 quarters. Soybean meal, September, 282 even up 260. October, 281 up 90. December, there it is, 284.70, up $1 even. Soybean oil, October, 51, down to 51. And we got hard red winter wheat, December, 507, up 1.5. And March is 528, up 1.25. Live cattle for October, 235.77, down 117. December, 237.37, down 117. February is 238.65, down 122. Feeders for October, 357.80, down 115. November's 356 even, down 207. And January is 350.27, down 287. Lean hogs, October, 96.22, down 120. And December's 88.42, down 112. If you follow me on Facebook, I asked a question earlier this morning on my personal Facebook, that is, about what you guys would think after peanut harvest. I was thinking about spending a couple Saturdays in Elk City or somewhere around, maybe just go with the popular demand, about boiling some peanuts and adding some different spices to different batches of them. Fresh peanuts coming out of my field. Do some jalapeno and peanuts, do some pickle and peanuts, maybe some carrot and peanuts. There's so many of them down there in Alabama and Georgia and Florida and South Carolina. They're always on the corners in that area, street corners or Walmarts or convenience stores on the weekend just selling it, and they sell like crazy. So I was thinking about doing that. What do you guys think? Think it'd be worth my time? I like to promote peanuts. I like to promote anything that we grow in Western Oklahoma. Beef, peanuts, cotton, wheat, barley, triticale, you name it. I like to promote it. So I was thinking about it. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. All right. I didn't get to it yesterday, but here's some of the top selling land up there in the Midwest. And I don't get it. I really don't get it. I'm sure there's a reason why land in Indiana and Iowa and Illinois and that area over there sells for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 an acre, but it ain't for farming. And that's the sad thing about this land. There, you know, population in that area is crazy. You know, your nearest neighbor's a quarter mile away everywhere, and you're not going to spend $16,000 an acre for corn ground and make it work. It's not going to happen, because what you guys don't realize, I know for 100%, I'm positive 100%, in Iowa, they got to pay property taxes that are crazy up there. So you go in there and spend $16,000 an acre for a farm in there, your property taxes are going to eat up any profit you get on what that deal. So, but in Delaware County in Indiana, 535 acres sold for $16,979. More than 500 contiguous central Indiana acres sold via public auction, selling at 6 tracts. The auction concluded with the final sale price at $9.1 million. The farm in as a whole is 97% tillable and holds all kinds of different soil types. It has county tile in it, open drainage ditches, and multiple drainage outlets ensure adequate drainage for the flat topo. The buyer was able to farm the 2025 crop. The sale shows strong farmland sales do occur on the east side of the Corn Belt. Back over here in Iowa in Sioux County, $20,500 for an 80-acre tract. FSA states that they are 74.72 tillable acres with 1.5 enrolled in Conservation Reserve Program, 1.5 acres, that is. Primary soil types are Galvin, Radford. Despite the farm having terracing, two waterways, and a portion of a property located in a FEMA flood zone, this sale continues the trend of strong Northwest Iowa farmland prices. And the buyer got immediate possession on it after signing the purchase agreement. Back over here in Minnesota, there was some land. How many acres was this? Does it say? Yeah, 211.2 FSA cropland acres sold for $2.3 million, a few hundred dollars shy of $10,000 an acre. Just crazy. Good stuff. I know they raise dry land corn up there, 180 to 200. But think about that at today's prices, how many acres it would take to, it's just the price of corn today, and then they just spent $16,000, $10,000 an acre. Incredible. Just incredible. A positive story from Missouri. I think it's pretty close to St. Louis. If you want to check out this story or see the pictures of what this guy found, it's incredible, because I know a couple of guys around here that love treasure hunting and arrowhead hunting. But this guy found 51 Native American blades in a Missouri soybean field in June. Ben McGee, Ben McGee uncovered an amazing treasure that was untouched for over 2,000 years. Ben McGee said he couldn't speak or move. It was just beyond his reach. A trial of biface blades peeked out of the magical dirt, he says, a mere fraction of one of the greatest Native American finds of recent history. Shaking off the shock, standing on an isolated farmland in northeast Missouri, the implications rolled over McGee. A mother lode under the soil, heart exploding, skin was tingling. He dropped to his knees, poked a pocket knife into the tealed loam. This field had just been, as long as kind of a small river, it looks like. They disked it about a month before that, and then the freezing it came in and it was thawing. And he hit an absolute grail. He dug out 51 chert blades untouched for a long time. Born with a artifact hunter's sixth sense and obsession, McGee felt that grail before he saw it. I knew it was something under that field. I knew it. Some people might think that's crazy, but you see with your mind first, he said. And then when you walk farmland or a creek, you look not only with your eyes, but your feeling. McGee's wonderful madness turned into a phenomenal discovery. My adrenaline still jumps talking about it today. It took 5 months to locate that cache of blades, but the signs were all there from the start, and almost like the field was talking to me. He said, all I had to do was just listen. Ben McGee hunts ghosts in forms of arrowheads, fossils, old bottles, coins, petrified wood, and much, much more. Spot him in the back or of beyond and see a nomad garbed in a tan cargo pants and a t-shirt, a neck gaiter and a ball cap, shoulder strap with canvas satchel, all propelled by a pair of hiking boots. It's a pretty good story. He said, I'm out there with deep appreciation of what's hidden. It's kind of like a need inside to find something everyone else is missing. I think I was born to hunt. The feeling of the unknown mixed with smelling cool air over a farm field in the sun is going down when the sun's going down, and walking out with an arrowhead in your pocket is priceless. He said he hunts with patience, but there's so much more to hunt than walking around hoping to stumble across a rock. The clues are there, all there. You'll miss them if you get in a hurry. He said it was just above freezing when he walked along this bank. It's a 100-acre rolling field, he said, laced with ridges and sloped towards a shallow river. Had been disced just weeks before, leaving a new top layer of dirt exposed to the cleansing of some rains that he had. With no prediction beyond a couple of pocket pieces, McGee kept his neck craned downward and initially was rewarded by a handful of broken points and common specimens. Despite finding no smokers, he noted the color scattered in heavy patches, a lot of flakes basically off that flint. That was a very big hint in this geography that I was might be in the Woodland Period campsite. The flakes showing somebody here have been producing a big quantity of stone tools. If my suspicions were right and this was woodland, then there would be some nice points. And he said it just kept after it. And man, you ought to see the picture of these arrowheads he found. It was going by. So he spent 5 months in that area, and he said he kept his powder dry, keeping the field ample for clouds to diminish and dirt particles to erode in spring rains. By June the 12th, with the field of the late soybean planting, McGee was bucking and jumping, anxious to see the breadcrumbs lead to the treasure. In the weeks before, he said, if the law of attraction, you just got to believe it. You just got to believe it. I've always visualized that I was going to find this thing. So it was pretty cool. So he said on June 12th, he walked back to that 100-acre field in an overcast day, covering the higher elevation first, intentionally leaving the sloped area for his last pass, hoping he could pick the right window of time, sunshine, just the weather, all the stuff. I knew a cache was out there, but there's no controlling what elements are right for surface exposure. Several hours later, he made his move towards the location of the initial North Blade find, and to his astonishment, in the precise spot where he stood in February, another North Blade peeked out of the dirt. He knelt for a closer look, but didn't dare touch the tool. Soaking in that moment, his eyes suddenly caught the contrast of another one a few feet away, and then another one, and then another one. And so it's a pretty cool story. If you're into arrowhead hunting and stuff like that, this is a pretty cool story. You can find this. It was on yesterday's news deal on AgWeb on the Farm Journal. So check it out. All right, we're going to take a Wheeler General Store break. And we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. When it comes to feeding your cattle, try our Mixed 30 supplement, packed with high energy and quality protein to keep your herd thriving. If you're dealing with pests, we carry Caput, Feral Hog, Gopher and Prairie Dog bait to help protect your land. And don't forget, we are now booking winter contracts for feed and mineral. Secure the best for your cattle before the season changes. Give us a call at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City.
I've had several clients when we're sitting in a closing room, we're signing the final pieces of paper and we slide the keys across the desk and tell them, congratulations, you're a homeowner, and they're just elated. They're thrilled. they finally realize that their dream came true. They were actually able to own a home, and the children are in there with them. And they're like, I get to go get my new room. It's for the whole family to enjoy. They're very excited to own a home. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Listen up. If your pivot, corner, or linear is 10 years old or pushing 10,000 hours, it's time to update your sprinkler package. New sprinklers will improve your machine's performance, conserve water, and save energy. And replacing old sprinklers may improve yields. Protect your irrigation system investment by updating your sprinkler package. Now's the time to do it. For more information on the latest sprinkler technology, contact Knutson Irrigation today. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Next spring, you'll fire up the tractor, turn the earth, plant the seed, and be on your way to another harvest. If you take care of your tractor right now. Before you put it up, do the maintenance so you'll be ready to go next spring. Everything you need to keep your tractor performing is at Camrock Supply. All the grease and hydraulic fluids and filters. All the nuts and bolts, all the tire patches. All the stuff is at Camrock Supply. All of it. Next to Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City. When it's time, make sure your tractor is ready to go.
Your family is sitting around the supper table and something interesting happens. Just a few moments ago, there was lots of rustling and noises. And now nobody's saying a word. Everyone's too busy cutting up their steak and taking bites. Once in a while, someone says something about how good it tastes, but for the most part, everyone's pretty quiet. They're too busy chewing and swallowing and going back for another bite. The meat was processed exactly the way you wanted it, and all you had to do was tell us what you wanted. We processed your meat to the exact specifications, and since we processed the meat at your place, it was really simple for you. I'm Becky Brown, and my husband's Tony, and we're BT Butchers. It's a mobile meat processing shop. We come to you and make it easy as possible, the way you want it. The website is btbutchers.com. That's B as in Becky, T as in Tony, butchers.com. Remember, it's your meat and it feeds your family. You deserve to have it processed the way you want it.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's check out some weather. Let's go all the way out to Boise City. You guys want to? Maybe if my... Come on, computer. Uh-oh. Let me try this again. Bear with me a second. Click. Open. There we go. I got a circle moving in there. There it is. Yes, come on. Help me out here. What's going on? Okay. There, I got her now. Let's go out to Boise City. Boise. Do you pronounce it Boise or Boise? What do you guys go with? 52 degrees. Dew points 49, humidity's 91. Winds are out of the northeast at 17 miles an hour. 7,100ths of an inch of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 75. Sunsets at 8:14. Chance of rain 50% today. Tonight 48 for a low. Tomorrow 77 for a high. Lieutenant Edwards, sent me a deal a while ago that I want to share with you guys. This weekend, the 6th and the 7th, are Oklahoma free hunting days. Do you know somebody who wants to try hunting? Take them afield the first weekend in September. No hunting license is required for Oklahoma residents on free hunting days. And might be a good weekend to go dove hunting. With that cold weather pouring in up north of here, them dove are be head south. So if you are going to go dove hunting anytime, not just this weekend, it's, like I said, it's free hunting days, Saturday and Sunday. You need a HIP permit. You need a hunting license anytime besides this Saturday and Sunday. Do not forget to put your plug in your shotgun. The gun cannot hold no more than 3 shells, 2 in the magazine and 1 in the chamber. Remember that. I'm sure hunting without no license and no plug in the shotgun is their biggest deal besides shooting from the road, off of highline wires, all that other good stuff. All right, let's see what else we're going to talk about today. Let's see here. This ranch out in western New Mexico just sold I seen this on Successful Farming last night. 500,000 acres. How many acres was it altogether? 504,801 acres sold for $115 million. The Great Western Ranch, one of the largest privately held properties in the United States, sold in July after 10 months on the market. That didn't take long. That's very unusual, as they say in this article, to have that quick a turnaround for a property of its scales. So it's 790 square miles. It's 70 miles long from the east to west, 29 miles from north to south, and it's about three-fourths the size of the state of Rhode Island. The Great Western Ranch is located outside of, not outside, but 150 miles west of Albuquerque, right on the Arizona border. There are sellers. The ranch was previously owned by D.R. Horton, the late Texas-based home-building giant. Following Horton's passing, his family chose to diverse properties outside of Texas, including the ranch. Jeff Berger, a partner with Hall & Hall, who represented the seller, had a personal stake in the transaction. He also handled the sale in 2014 when Horton first purchased the property. Berger estimates he's been to the ranch 25 times and describes it as an incredibly diverse property that is just magical, is what he's saying. He said interest in the ranch was strong, 7 showings before it sold in 10 months, far faster than the typical 18 to 24 months most listings his firm take. He said swift sale is size of the robust market. There's a small pool of buyers who can take a property of this scale, and they know they have to move quickly when one becomes available, he said. Buyers, although it was listed for $115 million, the final sale price and the buyer's identity have not been disclosed. According to the release on Hall & Hall's website, Dax Hayden, managing partner of Hayden Outdoors, represented the buyer. So I bet it's going to be a big old hunting ranch. What do you guys think? The sale of the Great Western Ranch represents a significant event in the world of large land holdings, Hayden said. Our client is deeply committed to preserving the natural integrity and the ecological health of this incredible property. The existing conservation efforts and the ranch's rich biodiversity were key attractions, and new ownership looks forward to building on that legacy. So what makes this big ranch unique? The sheer size of the ranch is one factor, but Berger said it's more than just land. It's a living testament to generations of thoughtful management. It's important to wildlife, particularly bull elk, mule deer, and antelope, as well as its historical significance can't be overstated. The land is located in the heart of one of the most productive big game and livestock grazing regions in the western United States. The ranch has several income sources thanks to its location. According to Hall & Hall, the ranch will support one of the largest livestock operations in the country. In addition to that, it participates in a lease arrangement with Black Mountain Outfitters, a business that takes hunters on high-end guided trips through the property. But its real value could be tied to something else. There aren't many places like it in the country. It looks like a gorgeous ranch. Eric O'Keefe, I think's how you say that, editor of the Land Report and the magazine American Landowner, writes about some of the biggest land transactions in the world, in the country, actually. He explains how a property of this size and price was able to sell in such a short time and matter. He talks about it. But you just think about the legacy of that ranch. The Pueblo Indians, there's a lot of historical things going on there with them. A lot of things went on back during the cowboy days. So it's just go. And they said there's talking about the ancestors of the modern Pueblo Indians. They said this, they've got history dating back to AD 200 to AD 1300. So they left a lot of heavy accumulations of house remains. and debris, according to the Utah History Encyclopedia. The ranch has a lot of sites on it, historical sites on it, and there was even some tumble-down stone homes and corrals of New Mexico's earliest homesteaders. So, I don't know. It's pretty cool. A lot of money for a big ranch, but that's a lot of land. So, all right, let's go ahead and take another Wheeler General Store break, and we will come back and finish up the show.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I've always wanted to learn French, but the app I tried didn't help.
If you want to memorize words in another language, there's an app for that. But if you want to really learn another language, there's Babbel. Babbel was designed by over 200 language learning experts to be the most effective way to learn another language.
With other language learning apps, I was just playing games. I wasn't really learning. Babbel's different. Every time I open the app, I can choose to work on my writing, speaking, or listening. And it saves my mistakes for me to review, so I'm constantly improving. Babbel feels like it was created intentionally by people who really know what you need to learn another language. Before Babbel, I thought I just wasn't good with languages. But now I'm speaking French. Tout ça, c'est grâce à Babbel.
Want to really learn another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage. You don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
You're so busy out on the farm, you don't run into town unless you absolutely have to. The folks on the east side of Wheeler make it easier for you to stay on the farm. They'll deliver high-pro feed in bulk to your place. They deliver bulk feed in 5 states. They're used to it. But if you're in town, stop in and ask about lick tubs and talk to them about fertilizer. They've got plenty of that, too. Your cattle and crops don't have better friends than the folks at the Wheeler General Store. Sure, they're on Facebook, but mostly they're on Highway 152 on the east side of Wheeler. That's Wheeler General Store.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 29th. 1,662 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 291 brought 610. 4 at 453 brought 440. 22 at 577 brought 401. 5 at 653 brought 365. 9 at 674 brought 349. 6 at 752 brought 343. 4 head of heifers at 425 brought 445. 7 at 465 brought 407.50. 3 at 493 brought 387.50. 5 at 786 brought 322.50. 25 at 820 brought 323. 16 at 993 brought 270. Butcher cows were 40 to 189. Butcher bulls 127 to 214. Bred cows 1600 to 3900. Pairs brought 2500 to 4550. Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back. 81 degrees at Tipton. And here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Feels like 83, dew point 66, humidity 60. The winds are out of the northeast at 23 miles an hour. I hear, I hadn't looked at the mezzanette. I hear they're supposed to get up 30, 40 miles an hour this afternoon. So, skirt alert. All right, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 86 degrees. Sunset at 7:59, 20% slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, 89 for a high today, 57 for a low tonight, and 80 degrees. manana with light winds out of the northeast to east happening. Okay. I don't know if you guys got your new penny news yesterday, but on the back page is the KECO, the Day in Ag Open, presented by the Wheeler General Store, October 4th, tee times at 8 a.m. There's a wait list. If you want to get on the wait list, you're more than welcome to. KECOFM.com and click on the KECO Today in Ag Open presented by the Wheeler General Store. There is a few sponsorships left if somebody's wanting to sponsor, do a whole sponsor. We got lots of advertising going on with some of our sponsors right here. We got Anthony Moore. There's Chad, Jancy, Janae, Carter with the Ripto Farms and Waterwell Services, Puckett Food Stores, Markham, Angus out of Brian and Tess Markham out of Wheeler, Texas on there, Nick Archer, Wheeler Brothers Grain Company out of Cordell, Cool 94, Gas, Great Plains and Electric, is that how you say that, Services Incorporated, of course the Wheeler General Stores, Farmers Co-op here in Elk City, and Well Works. That's just half of them. So we'll go over some more of them next week. All right, let's see here. What do we want to talk about? So as of September 1st, Texas banned any cultivated meat sales or whatever in Texas, obviously. So already, first week, Texas was hit with a federal lawsuit over cultivated meat ban. Florida's also facing the same thing. Texas is now the second state in the nation to face a legal challenge over its recent ban on cultivated meat. On Wednesday, the Institute for Justice, along with Wild Type and Upside Foods, filed a federal lawsuit against Texas law SB 261, arguing that legislation is nothing more than unconstitutional economic protectionism, however you say that. Texas has always been a state with live and let live mentality, especially when it comes to the kitchen, says senior attorney Paul Sherman. No one is forcing Texas to eat anything they don't want, but at the same time, the government shouldn't prevent Texans from eating something they don't want to. I say banter in Oklahoma too. On June 20th, Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed SB 261 into law, prohibiting the manufacturing, processing, possession, and distribution, offer for sale, and sale of cell cultured protein across the state. The law, which took effect this past Monday, will expire on September 7th, 2027. Upon which the state legislation will then need to assess whether to end or continue the ban. And there you have it. Interesting. All right. We've been talking a little bit about MCool, a couple times. And you have some article, if you have some article you want me to read about Cool. I'm airing it all out here. I'm not favoring one or the other. I'm talking about it, okay? And if you got something you want me to air on the radio on my show about it, I'm glad to do it. My email address is really easy. Jimmy with a Y at KECOFM.com. You want to send me an article on what you think about the Cool, which is the country of origin label, all right? So after 10 consecutive columns on beef demand, claiming cattle producers set record profits from countries of origin labeling, doesn't make it a fact. There's a lot of false information out on social media. There's a lot of true information. So we'll try to keep it separate, and we'll keep it separate. But this was a really good deal that article I found on beef this morning. After 10 consecutive columns on beef demands, my plan was to move on. And however, just prior to finishing up, the dollars are real. The planned final column of the series, RCAF USA, published the following declaration regarding country of origin labeling, which is cool, and because of its inherent relationship to beef demand or lack thereof, it seemed only fitting to follow up. When mandatory cool was fully in place in 2013 through 2015, cattle producers saw record high prices and profits. Since it repelled, returns per bred cow have dropped 83%. Multi-nation packers are profiting while American loses ranchers at a record pace. Honest labels can help turn the tide. Call today and tell your senators and representatives to support the American Beef Labeling Act in the 2025 Farm Bill. It required several columns to unpack all that. We'll stick with that, what is in this column, prices and profits. And the second column will address why. Okay, here we go. Sure, 2013 through 2015 chalked up record prices and profit, but that's old news. The first graph in this column says detailed cost and revenue differences between 2013 to 15 to 2023 and 25, respectfully. A couple of items of note. First, the operating cost estimate is a national average generated by Livestock Marketing Information Center. Undoubtedly, there's variation around the estimated depending on the individual operations or the regional differences. Nevertheless, it's a solid baseline to work from. Second, the price averages reflect data through August. So two things are immediately evident from the data. Number one, the 2013-15 records are old news. Aside from the presented data, Superior's most recent sale, Bighorn Classic on August 26th, 20th through 22 in Sheridan, Wyoming, reveals just how far the market has come in 10 years. Five weight steers from Montana regularly brought $450 to $500 per hundredweight. That's $2,500 to $2,750 a head. Profits. The market has a way to outrun the upward creep in cow costs. Producers are generating record levels of operating cash flow, not only from the calf side of the business, but also the call cows and bulls. Those bighorn calves mentioned above, they cleared $1,500 per head, operating profit more than four times the 2013-15 average. Our calves ex post also notes packers are profiting, the implication being because there was no mandatory labeling law. The best view related to beef processing margins come via Tyson. The last time the company's beef segment generated positive operating income was 2 years ago in the fiscal third quarter of 2023. This time it's different. As explained here, the previous rally was spurred by a tightening beef supply. Not cool. Monthly fed beef production bottomed out in February of 2015 at 1.44 billion pounds, the lowest mark dating back to 1993. Meanwhile, the current market is rallying, with fed beef production has remained steady. Moreover, this rally's fed market is outpacing the previous decade by 2-1, fueled by the real difference in market. Canada, with respect to cattle markets, Canada and America are largely the same. Feeder and fed cattle prices are essentially indistinguishable over time. Facts versus feelings. There's some semblance of repetition bias at work here. Repeat the cool message often enough, even if inaccurate or accurate, and seemingly it'll become believable. They may work for some, but for everyone else, the cool price and profit messaging doesn't pass muster. Facts are stubborn things. And there you have it. And then there's all kinds of articles out there from different cattle organization, the NCBA, RCAF, just on and on. Just go in there and read and compare numbers and stuff like that. And honestly, if you were against the EID tag, but you're for cool, you need to think about that, because if you want cool and you want to know where these cattle come from 100%, you're going to have EID tags in. That's part of it. And so I'm just passing along information I see every day. And like I said, my email is real easy. Jimmy at KCOFM.com, and I'll pass along other information you have if it's viable. Have a great day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, America. God bless and have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.